It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Inside the Clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at FocusBaseball.com. Ages 6 to 17.
You know, I swear to you, I thought we had that fixed. We worked on it all morning, and then we clearly put it into the wrong number. So, once again... It's wrong. It's okay, though, because I know what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Fall mini camp. Sign up for them today at FocusBaseball.com. As I always say, it does not matter if you are playing for Focus Baseball or not. They will take you. They will coach you up. They will treat you like one of their own. And if you are a parent looking to have, maybe your kids aren't playing fall ball, or maybe they are playing fall ball, but you're still looking for some extra practice, because, you know, a lot of these fall ball teams are daddy baseball teams and so forth. Go get some real coaching and go over there to, again, FocusBaseball.com and sign up for the fall mini camps. Joining us now, he is Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports, as you heard, on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Hello, Mr. Wagner.
Let's get ready to rock.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's talk about this Milwaukee Brewers team and decisions abound here by the Brewers, as we are all waiting on the decision the Brewers are going to make involving Rhys Hoskins. I have my email open. I do not see anything from the Milwaukee Brewers as of yet to a decision on what they're going to do with who is coming off of this roster for Rhys Hoskins, but they have to make a decision today, I believe, Mr. Wagner.
Yeah, they got to make the decision today. They'll probably make it. I mean, guys are just reporting to the park, you know, right around now, within the next hour. Like, they don't even have to be there yet. And I'm looking here that Trevor McGill was actually throwing a live BP about 45 minutes ago down at Globe Life Field. So there's another decision that'll have to be made in a couple days. But yeah, they'll announce something within the next hour or two.
What is your expectation?
I was talking about this with Tommy last night, and I honestly don't know, man. I used yesterday as an example. Ran Anderson comes back. You're assuming that Piamps is going to get DFA'd, and they're going to use Yoho to get some experience and eat some innings here, and the exact opposite happens. I don't know. You know, there's a couple of options they could go with. I know one that would make you very happy, Signer getting sent down.
Mr. Wagner, we got into a big fight today, me and Tommy, on the Mason Crosby show, because I filled in on the first hour of the show from 9 to 10. And the very end of the first hour, you can go back, listen to it, or watch it all unravel on YouTube as well, or listen to it on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And that is this whole idea of Murphy in Kurt Hoag's piece today in the Journal Sentinel, talking about how he views Bowers, Hoskins, and Vaughn as three offensive players. That's how he views them. And my response to that was, okay, fine. If it's going to be all about offense then why not make the decision to get Isaac Collins onto the field with Yelich, Frelick, and Churio in the outfield, and then let whoever is not going to be at first base in the field, one of those other two guys, be the DH once you get to the postseason. Now, the only way that works is if Isaac Collins is coming to the infield. And originally I had said, because Tommy had brought up that maybe he was taking some grounders at third base the other day, and my idea was fine. Then he plays third, shortstop is Ortiz, second base is Terang. Then Mitch Thunder-Nellis hopped in and said, but wait a second, the most time he's spent at any infield position in his career is second base. And that means, at that point, then Terang goes to short, Ortiz goes to third, and at second base then becomes Collins. I just don't know whether or not they would be that daring, that adventurous, that gutsy to attempt to move Isaac Collins to the infield this late in the game prior to the postseason starting, because it could burn you if defensively he can't handle it.
I mean, I agree with you there. I don't think it's the right move. I think it's good to get him some reps. He was taking some infield work. He's done quite a bit, I think, over the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's always good to have that as an option late innings when you're juggling things around. And it's never good to get refreshed, or never bad to get refreshed there. I don't know. Like, the DFA, I think the easy assumption going into this past weekend would have been they DFA Jake Bowers. And then Jake Bowers heats up and goes on a tear. I mean, you think, okay, maybe they send down Siegler, but do you really carry three first basemen? I don't know. Like, I wish I could give you, like, an answer or even a guess, but with the way things have gone lately, I have no idea which way they're leaning on this whole thing.
I would think it's Siegler at this point, but then again, then it becomes, well, Monasterio is hitting so well, the Monasterio and or Durbin then are playing third base every day, and then Terang and Ortiz is up the middle. But nobody has addressed another issue, which is, what if they tell Rhys Hoskins, it's been real, you're being released, and we're going with what we have at the major league level?
I don't see that happening. I really don't. I mean, he's one of the few guys in that room that's got any kind of legitimate postseason experience.
Yep. Clutch.
Clutch. I don't see that. I mean, it could happen. You know, though, again, you never know with this team. But I don't see that being the case.
I would be pretty mad if Rhys Hoskins was let go. I'm just telling you now. I don't think I'd handle it very well. I think I would be.
Let me put it this way, Sparky. I don't see the Brewers paying a guy with that kind of slug potential to sit the bench the last 3 weeks. You know, like, I don't see them eating that cost.
That's what it sounds like is going to happen anyhow. It sounds like it's going to be Vaughn at first base, and Hoskins is going to be on the bench in a reserve role. I mean,
I misphrased that. I don't sit on his couch is what I meant to say. I don't see them paying him to send him home is what I'm saying.
But just stay there on the bench idea, because that's what it appears it's going to be. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe my memory is going in my old age, and Charlie says it all the time that it is. But Rhys Hoskins is not as bad of a defender as what I've been watching Andrew Vaughn try and play defense. I mean, seemingly every series there's an air by Andrew Vaughn, it feels like, at first base.
That adds to the wrinkle. Jake Bowers is the best defensive first baseman that they have. Rhys Hoskins is not a great defender. He's capable, but using great or good, even good defender with him, you don't hear it very often. You can hold
what
his
is
own,
Vaughn?
But Vaughn was the only guy they had for the longest time. You know, that was the big thing, because
it's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we've essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both Hoskins and Bowers were hurt, and he was hitting. I sit here, I watch this team every single day, and I have to scratch my head sometimes, because to me, it doesn't make sense. I'm not the one that has to make sense to
it. Correct. It doesn't make sense to me either half the time of what they're doing either. Talking with Andrew Widener, Forbes Sports, Brewers writer. Again, follow him on Twitter, by Andrew Widener, brought to you by Focus Baseball. Fall minicamps right now, focusbaseball.com. Okay, Mr. Widener, so we talk about that. You brought up McGill throwing as well down there in Texas. Now, realistically, what this needs to look like, right, is the back end of this bullpen is McGill, Uribe, Kane.
Hold up. We got the move. Hold up.
Okay.
Rhys Hoskins reinstated from the 10-day. Chad Patrick recalled for Nashville. Carlos Rodriguez option in Nashville. Embrace yourself, Sparky. Here it comes. Anthony Siegler option to AAA Nashville.
Goodbye. Enjoy your time in Nashville, Tennessee. First drink on Sparky. That's a beautiful thing. It's great. Now, that means, I think, Monasterio and Durbin are at third base now. Siegler back in Nashville. And then I got confused and everything and forgot everything else that you said. What did you say about Chad Patrick? Where is Chad Patrick?
Chad Patrick's been brought back from Nashville. He's going to start tonight because they're trying to give everyone an extra day of rest. Right.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, so, fine. Yeah, okay. When they sent out Carlos Rodriguez.
Right, yeah, that's fine. No, and that's fine, too. So, okay, so Chad Patrick is back. That's good. Rhys Hoskins is back. That's good. I would start Rhys Hoskins right away if it was me, but we'll see what he does. So those two are back. Siegler is gone. That is finally done with. And I'm happy about that. Now, I'd like to tell you that I believe this is how this is going to look the rest of the way, but I do not trust this team of not bringing back Siegler and ruining everything that I'm getting excited about between now and the end of the season. So cautious optimism that Siegler is not brought back at this point. Now, do they let Durbin play every day, or is Monasterio going to rotate with Durbin? That now becomes the next question.
Well, Durbin's play, he started 16 in the last 17, and he's not been hitting very well. I mean, he's been in the tank quite a bit. I think it was like 0 for 21 or something like that.
Yep.
They're going to have to rotate Monasterio in there because it looks like Caleb Durbin needs a blow. That would make the most sense.
Yeah, and again, you know, Monasterio before, never would get excited about him, but he's been hitting the ball pretty well this year. So, I mean, I'm not going to get overly mad about Monasterio getting some time here if need be. But I'm telling you, this Isaac Collins thing bears watching, because if Monasterio goes into a funk and Durbin doesn't come out of a funk, can they really afford to have that left side of that infield be Ortiz and one of those two going into the postseason and have two guys offensively that maybe you don't trust at the end of the day, even though Ortiz has played better since the trade deadline?
I mean, in that case, then you might see Siegler again. Oh, you know, God. That's
he's just as bad as the other ones. Why do I want to see Siegler again?
Because what other option do they have? They're not going to move Ortiz back over to, and if he can hold his own, if they see that he can handle it at third base, they'll put Collins there. But
yes, that's what I want to see.
Collins in the outfield.
Yes. Yeah. Right, and that's what I'm saying. So let Collins play some third base here in the end of games. If you're up, 6-1 in the eighth inning or ninth inning, let's see if Isaac Collins can play third base for a couple of innings. If you're losing 10-0, let's see if Isaac Collins can play third base here for a couple of innings. I think I'm more than okay with that at this point. Let's talk about Jacob Mizorowski real quick, and I want to get your thoughts on him. So that last outing that he had a couple of walks early, and then after that he settled down and pitched deeper into the game. I think that might have been one of my favorite outings from Mizorowski. You overcome adversity, but you don't give up a run. You get the double play ball, and then you're able to go deeper into the game on top of it and get to almost 100 pitches.
Yeah, I thought that was really impressive. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what start it was, or Christian Yelich said that was probably his best start. And he had struggled quite a bit, but he bounced out of it. That was another example of it. Like, walking those two batters to start the game, you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. This is going to get ugly fast. And then you see him reach back, settle down, and gets out of it. Obviously, you don't want to walk the first two batters of any inning, or two batters in any inning, however you want to look at it. But fact of the matter is, you're going to give up walks. You're going to give up hits. You're going to see people on base. How do you respond with that? And that's something a young pitcher struggles with, because the first time you get really challenged, you have the tendency, instead of the Freddie Peralta syndrome, you try to get too fancy, you try to tap dance, you try to, you know, paint the court, all that kind of stuff. He locked in, bared down, and used his stuff, trusted his catcher, and navigated. And that's what you want to see a young pitcher do, because, again, inevitably, runners are going to get on base. How do you respond to that without letting it blow up?
I was watching MLB Network the other day, Mr. Wagner, and Matt Vasgersian, and I forgot who was with them. Sean Casey, I think. Were talking about who would be their front three pitchers in a Brewers playoff rotation. And Vasgersian said Woodruff would be his first pitcher because he's so good at home. So he'd roll with Woodruff 1. He said he would play Priester in the 2-hole because you don't want Priester having to start a game on the road, and the first game on the road on top of everything else, and he gives you some depth as far as pitching deeper into games. And then he would start Freddie Peralta game 3, first game on the road. That's how he line up his front three. Agree or
disagree?
I love
Maddie, but he's not looking at the numbers close enough. I mean, if you want to talk about giving the advantage to a guy who's been good at home, well, then you go with Freddie Perrault, the one, because he's been pretty lights out at American Family Field this season and last. You know, you want to keep him home. I would actually trust Priester more on the road than I would with Freddie, to be quite honest with you. I wouldn't mind seeing Woody as your one, because your chances of getting a deep outing are better with him. And then go with Freddie. You know, an interesting thing here is, if you look at the schedule for the NLDS, I tweeted out a while ago, it's on the MLB website, the schedule for the NLDS is really weird because there's an off day. There's two off days in the first, between the first three games. So you have the bye, so you're off for like a week.
Right.
You play game one, then you have an off day, then you play game two, then you have the travel day.
So from a bullpen perspective, everybody should be fresh in each one of those first three games.
Yeah. It's I mean, that really, considering the state of the Brewers pitching, that could really help out quite a bit. So, and I completely forgot about them just now until we were talking about, like, Freddie and the short starts. But listen, I don't know. That might be an even tougher decision than this whole Reese Hoskins thing. Like, you have so many pitchers that they're all kind of the same that it doesn't really – there's no logical solution to which are your three best because everyone's so kind of evenly matched. You know, Quinn Priester, you could make the argument, has probably been their most effective starting pitcher.
Yes.
He may not be the best, but he's the guy that continually goes deep,
yep,
continually gets a chance to win. I'm almost at the point where I say, you know what? I'm going to give him game one. I'm going to give him game one, give Freddie game two, give Woody game three, and roll with that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer. I think if you would have asked this question a month ago, everybody has Miz in the top three, including me. Now I've backed off of that because I think now you can use him like a hater where he pitches a couple of innings out of the bullpen whenever you need somebody in a tough jam there in the middle of a game if a starter gets into trouble. But we'll see how they decide to use him at the end of the day. Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports Brewers writer, inside the clubhouse, brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign up for the fall mini camps today at focusbaseball.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Catch him coming up tonight, 6 o'clock. Leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook with Tommy Wirtz. Get you ready for game two between the Brewers and Rangers. Reese Hoskins is back. Anthony Siegler headed to Nashville. That's the headline of this interview. Mr. Wagner, thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.